Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith. Okay, well, we are now well into this term's sermon series, which we entitled Ancient Wisdom for Modern Living. It's a sermon series where we're looking together into the book of Proverbs, a book that was written about 3,000 years ago, and we're looking to see what it can teach us about how to live in the 21st century. And I shared with the morning congregations a couple of weeks ago, I don't think I've shared this in the evening service. If I have, I just put it down to a senior moment that I've forgotten, that I did actually, when we first drafted this sermon series, I suggested an alternative title for the series. I thought that in order to be culturally up to date, then Wise Up would be a really good title for the series, because then we could sing the song, Wise Up, People of God, Wise Up, Sing of His Love. Yeah? Maybe not. Okay. So anyway, for some reason that wasn't accepted, and we end up with Ancient Wisdom for Modern Living. So, having got that one out of the way, I'm going to put two sets of phrases up. You're doing your best not to laugh, aren't you, Grace? But you did enjoy it. You know you did. Yes, thank you. Two sets of phrases are going to appear on the screen. And I want you to just think, and it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. I want you to think, which of these best describes you? Are you someone who is discerning? Are you someone who shows people how to live well? Are you someone who is honored by other people? That's the first set of descriptions. The second set is this. Are you someone who is stiff-necked and stupid? Are you someone who is headed for poverty and shame? Are you someone who leads others astray? Let's put both lists up so that you can see what you've got to choose from. Are you the top one? Does that describe you? Or is it the bottom one? Now, my guess is that we'd all love to be able to put a tick in the first box and a cross in the second box and say, of course, we all want to be thought of as people who are discerning, honored, who show others how to live well, rather than stiff-necked, stupid people who are headed for poverty and shame and leading others astray. And all of those phrases are descriptions that are taken from the book of Proverbs. And they are all used to describe people in relation to the same theme. They're all descriptions of people who either receive correction and rebuke well, or people who either don't receive correction and rebuke at all, or don't receive it well. And the top three, I think you can work out which is which, the top three are the ones that the book of Proverbs says the person who receives correction and rebuke well is described by the top three, but the person who doesn't receive it well, it was the bottom three. And so that's the theme that we're looking at this evening from the book of Proverbs, correcting and rebuking. And I just commented on Facebook a little bit earlier that one of the joys of preaching through a book of the Bible is you actually get to be asked to preach on things that you would never actually choose to preach on. I can honestly say that in over 40 years of preaching, I've never chosen to preach a sermon on the subject of correcting and rebuking. And I don't think I've ever preached one specifically on that subject. When I put it up on Facebook saying, you know, the thing about preaching from Proverbs is you get to preach on all sorts of verses, my son said, so is it the one about the dog and his vomit, which is in Proverbs, but it's not that one. It's about correction and rebuking. So let's just think about it. What do we mean? Let's put them the other way around. To put it as simply as possible, to rebuke is when someone points out to us something that is wrong in us, or something that we've done. And correcting is when someone helps us or shows us how to put right something that is wrong. And the book of Proverbs speaks about both rebuking, pointing out, and correcting, putting right. And at this point, we just need to stop for a moment and ask a question, which again is a very obvious question, or the answer should be very obvious. If there are going to be times when people will point out to us something that is wrong, or will help us to put right something that is wrong, what needs to happen first? It's a real question. You can answer it. If people are going to point out something that is wrong or help us put right something that is wrong, what needs to happen first is you have to do something wrong, which is a bit of an obvious thing to say, isn't it? But we do need to recognize it. It's a little bit like that verse in the New Testament that says, forgive one another. We know that's a lovely verse, isn't it? Forgive one another. But in order to apply that, somebody, first of all, has to sin against you. Otherwise, there would be nothing to forgive. You can only forgive someone who has sinned against you. You only need correction and rebuke when you have done something wrong. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that the Bible is actively encouraging us all to go out and do things that are wrong so that other people can correct and rebuke us, or to go out and sin so that people can forgive us. But what the Bible does is it just assumes it will happen. Because what this tells us is that the Bible and the book of Proverbs and the stuff we're looking at this evening is not written for perfect people. This isn't written for people who never get anything wrong. This is written for people who know that in their lives, from time to time, they get things wrong. And hopefully, that's all of us. We're all self-aware enough to say, yes, that's me. I am not a perfect person. From time to time, I get things wrong. And when we get things wrong, sometimes we need others to point that out to us, and we need others to help us put that right. And there's an awful lot in the book of Proverbs about correcting and rebuking. If we had to choose one text to use it for the whole evening, it would be, I think, Proverbs 27, verse 5, which says this, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Which would you rather have? Someone who will openly point out to you that you've done something wrong, or someone who will love you but just never show it to you in any way? And the writer tells us here that actually someone who's willing to tell you when you've got something wrong is serving you better than someone who loves you but doesn't tell you anything about it. And so within the book of Proverbs, correcting and rebuking are not seen as negative things to be avoided, but they're seen as positive things to be given well and to be received well. It's all part of this theme of wisdom that runs through the book of Proverbs. I love the phrase that Ryan used a couple of weeks ago when he talked about wisdom as being going with the grain of the world, that God has created this world to work in a certain way. And when we go with the way God has created things, we're going with the grain. And that's what wisdom is. It's going with the grain of the way God has set things up. Living life well. And one of the ways in which we can live life well, according to the book of Proverbs, is in this area of correcting and rebuking. And Solomon and the other writers of the book of Proverbs tell us about how to give rebuke and correction and about how to receive them. And both giving and receiving are very important. And you are now going to do the work of finding out exactly what the book of Proverbs says on these subjects. Because the hospitality team are going to pass around a piece of paper like this one. And when you get it, what you will find on this piece of paper is that on one side of the piece of paper, there is a list of verses. Looks a little bit like that. If we can go to the next slide, I think that should be up there. Looks a little bit like that. It's a whole list of verses from the book of Proverbs that are all about the subject of correction or rebuking. And so there's all the information from the book of Proverbs that you could possibly need in one page. And then on the other side, there's this little 2x2 grid. And across the top, you'll see the words to give and the words to receive. And then down the side, you'll see the word helpful ways and then unhelpful ways. And what I want you to do is just to work through that list of scriptures on one side and see what you can find from the book of Proverbs, this list of passages here, about helpful ways to give correction and rebuke, and helpful ways to receive correction and rebuke. And then also, the book of Proverbs is very practical. It gives us something of the mirror image as well, some unhelpful ways to give correction and rebuke, and some unhelpful ways to receive it. And so we need to be aware of those so that we can avoid them. Now, you could, if you wanted to, choose to do this as an individual exercise. If you are the ultimate introvert who hates talking to people, you could go and sit on a settee by yourself and you could do this exercise all by yourself. But I wouldn't recommend that. What I would recommend is that you get into groups of two or three and you do this together, because I think there's much more value in the conversations that you're likely to have with one another as you work through the list and try and work out from the list what can we learn about helpful ways to give rebuke and correction and helpful ways to receive it and unhelpful ways to give and to receive it. So I'm going to give you a fair amount of time to do that, probably about 10 minutes to do that, because that's the main body of this, what we're looking at this evening. You're going to do the main bit of the work, and then we'll pull it together when you've done that and see what we can draw out from it that we can learn. So if we could have a little bit of music on in the background, that would be great. Get yourself into groups of two or three, unless you really, really can't face talking to anybody, in which case, feel free to do it by yourself. Let's work with this material. Let's see what the book of Proverbs can teach us in this ancient wisdom for modern living about how to give and receive rebuke and correction in helpful ways. Someone's just asked the question, are you supposed to write the verses in the boxes or the or words? The idea is in the boxes, just write some of the key words that come out as what are helpful ways to give correction. So there might be a key word in one of the verses that just says, this is a helpful way to give correction, give it this way. If you want to put the reference in as well, that's fine, because that will help you to locate it later. But it's much more about identifying key words that will then be things that we can share together. Good ways, helpful ways to receive rebuke and correction, and helpful ways to give it. Is that clear? Sorry if I wasn't as clear as I thought I was. Thank you for that little bit of rebuke and correction there. Okay, if I can invite you just to begin to draw those conversations to a close. What we're going to do now is just look a little bit at that. Now, I think the most valuable part of this evening is you doing that work together in that way. And so we've given a fair chunk of time to that. And it's not going to be possible to gather absolutely every single answer that you've come up with, and that wouldn't really be helpful either. You've done that work, and that was the key thing. But it would be good to hear from one or two, on each of the questions, in each of the boxes, it would be good to hear from one or two. And then what I'll do is I'll just share with you the one thing that stood out for me when I did the exercise myself as part of the preparation. I did exactly the same thing, went through all these references, put them in the boxes, and the one thing from each box that stood out for me, I'll just share as one highlight. So let's start with the unhelpful ways and get those out of the way first, because we don't want to end with the unhelpful. So let's get the unhelpful ways out of the way first. What did you discover from Proverbs about unhelpful ways to give correction and rebuke?
Flattering tongues. Flattering tongues.
Let's try that with the microphone switched on.
Flattering tongues.
Flattery. Giving it in a flattering way is an unhelpful way. Another way. Anybody else? Is that the only way? What was this one? Threatening. That was the one. That was the one that I came up with, actually. It's there, isn't it, in Proverbs 13, verse 8, where it says, the poor cannot respond to threatening rebukes. And there's something about that word threatening. If someone is rebuking you or correcting you, and you get the sense that actually their intention is not to do you good, but to do you harm, and the threat doesn't have to be a physical threat, it's not that they're necessarily threatening you physically, but you just get the sense, they're doing this, they're telling me this, not because they really have my best interests at heart, but because they're actually trying to get one over on me, or just to make me look bad, or do me harm, then if you give it in a way that conveys that, it's never ever going to be helpful. So that's a fairly obvious one, I think, that it's unhelpful to give any kind of correction or rebuke in a way that leaves people thinking, this person does not have my best interests at heart. So let's move on to the other unhelpful one. What did you come up with from Proverbs about unhelpful ways to receive rebuke and correction? Anyone come up with anything that's an unhelpful way to receive rebuke and correction? What about the assorted wisdom here at the front?
Ignoring it altogether.
Ignoring it is an unhelpful way.
Trying to avoid it completely.
Trying to avoid it completely is one of the things that Proverbs talks about. Yeah.
Being stubborn
when you're receiving it, being stubborn about it is an unhelpful way to receive it. Yeah. The one that stood out for me was this one in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12, where it said, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. That the key word there being resent. And if you look up the word resent in some of the dictionaries, it says to feel bitterness or indignation. If someone brings you a word of rebuke or correction, and your immediate feeling is, how dare they speak to me like that? That sense of indignation where we're resenting the fact that anyone would dare to speak to us, or bitterness where we immediately start to harbor negative thoughts about them because they've dared to speak to us, then that's not helpful. So for me, the one that stood out was that sense of when we resent it, if people speak to us in a way that is rebuking or correcting. That's unhelpful. So let's move on to the more positive ones. What did you come up with from Proverbs about helpful ways to give rebuke or correction? What came out of it in terms of helpful ways? Three wise men here. Let's get that one. Yes, we need to hear that one.
A lot of talk about parents and how wise they are.
A lot of talk about parents and how wise they are. Yes, yes. That's a key point to make throughout the whole of the book of Proverbs. Parents are wise. Okay? And when my sons and daughters listen to this recording, that was just for your sake. Yes. What else did you come up with from about helpful ways to give rebuke and correction? An open rebuke. That was one of the things that we talked about earlier, wasn't it? I'll come back to that one because that was the one that stood out for me. But let's just see if there are one or two other phrases that came out. Yes.
What one was it? In 25:12, it talks about rebuke the wise, which kind of seems you'd think the wise wouldn't need rebuke, but it talks about not bothering to rebuke the mockers, but just focus on the wise people.
Yeah. So there's something about wisdom that welcomes it. And so there's an attitude of welcoming it that is key. Anything else about giving, helpful ways to give rebuke and correction? With discipline. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Yes. Probably need to take a little bit longer to unpack that one. So we'll just park that one for a moment, maybe.
And through teaching.
Through teaching, yeah. The one that stood out for me was the one that Mark mentioned a moment ago, this word open. Better is open rebuke. We had that verse earlier, didn't we? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Being open with someone about something in their life that we've seen that we think could be better. It's not always easy, is it, to be open? And one of the key lessons from the book of Proverbs, the verse that Grace mentioned, is that not everyone is going to be willing to receive rebuke and correction. In fact, there's a very clear principle in Proverbs 9, verse 8, do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you for it. If you know someone who is just generally cynical and mocks everything, then the book of Proverbs says, don't waste your breath on them. It's as simple as that. They'll hate you for it. It won't do you any good at all. So there's not suggestion here that we need to sort of point out everything that you see to everyone in whom you see it. There's a sense in which one of the helpful ways to give it is to look for that willingness, that wisdom, that there's a receptive heart. But when you do, when you find that, when you're in a relationship with someone that you know is a good relationship, and I'm sort of thinking here about the members of your 2-4 group. That would be an interesting question to ask, isn't it? Do the members of your 2-4 group feel free to rebuke or correct you? Because that's the type of relationship, isn't it, where we would hope that people would feel free to be open with us. Because there's actually nothing worse, is there, when you find out later that somebody was thinking something and they never told you. They kept it hidden. And later it comes out that they really thought you'd blown it, but they didn't tell you. And that sense of being open, if you have an accountability partner or maybe someone that you mentor or are mentored by, those have to be, don't they, the kind of relationships where we're looking for that openness, where there's a willingness to do the difficult thing of actually speaking out and not letting it fester. You know, sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? We let it fester. We let it grow inside of us until actually the thing becomes a bigger issue than it was, and that's not helpful. And sometimes, rather than sharing it openly with the person, we share it with others. Only for prayer, of course. Yeah, well, that's called gossip, actually. If you're sharing it with others without sharing it with the person themselves. And the book of Proverbs is quite clear about that. You don't share it with others if you haven't shared it with the person themselves. And this whole thing of not flattering them by pretending to them that you think that they're okay. And we often do that, don't we? We're tempted to just say the good things to people because we think that if we say good things to them, they will like us more than if we say difficult things to them. But there's another verse in Proverbs 28, verse 23 says this, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than one who has a flattering tongue. And generally speaking, I think people will ultimately think more of you if you are open with them, even in bringing a rebuke and a correction, than if you bring insincere flattery. I was thinking as I was preparing about the different people that I've had friendships with over the years and the friendships that have lasted. And I can think of a couple of folks. One of my closest friends is a man called Ray. He lives up in Sheffield. We don't see him as often as I would like to, but he's one of my closest friends. Another one is a man called Malcolm. I just spent some time with him yesterday. So we see each other more frequently because he lives more locally in the south of England. And they would be two of the men that I would speak of as being friends that I've had for many years. So not just recent friends, but friends that go back many, many years. And the characteristic of both of those friendships is that I can think of times when both of them have had the courage to say to me, David, you're getting this wrong. In this area, you're getting it wrong. You're blowing it. You don't want to do it that way. When you did that, that wasn't helpful. I can think back over the years to lots of people who've said lots of nice things to me. And I appreciate it when people say nice things. Please don't stop saying nice things. But when I think back in terms of the friendships that have lasted and the friendships that I value the most, they're the ones that I look back on and I think it was the people who were willing to openly tell me when they thought I was getting something wrong that I have valued the most and maintained the strongest friendships with. I think that's what this book of Proverbs is telling us, that if we can develop that type of relationship, we'll actually have some friendships that will be quite long-lasting and valuable. One of the key skills that we can learn in life is about being able to give people helpful feedback. You know, we run seminars on this. You can go to whole days seminars on how to give people helpful feedback. There's an awful lot in the book of Proverbs that just gives us the wisdom on that. I did a staff seminar here a little while ago about how to give people helpful feedback and saying one of the things that we actually need to create is sort of a culture where we are open to receiving feedback. If you put a grid up that I used in this, quickly work through that. We did this as a staff workshop. So this is a bit of an aside, really. Just thought I'd give you this as a bonus, free of charge, about giving and receiving feedback. That if you're in a situation where feedback is imposed, if you insist on telling people something, whether they want it or not, then it's likely to be resisted. If you offer feedback, then it's more likely to be accepted. It could be rejected, but it's more likely to be accepted. But when you want to create a culture of feedback, you've got to put the responsibility on the other side of the table. And it's about inviting it, saying to people, will you give me some feedback? And so one of the things that I find, I'll embarrass him publicly, a few weeks ago, Peter preached on the subject of a teachable heart. And then he modeled what it is to have a teachable heart by coming to me in the week that followed that and saying, would you please give me feedback on my preaching? Can we meet together to discuss that sermon? And we've got the date scheduled on Tuesday for me to do that. Now that to me is modeling that teachable heart that says, I've done this, I've preached on the subject, and now I am inviting you to give me feedback. What will be interesting would be to see whether he welcomes the feedback. Because that's the final stage, isn't it? Because you can invite it and then not welcome it when it comes. And so it's when we get to that point where we not only say to people, oh, just tell me what you think, but where we genuinely welcome it when they do, even when what is said to us may be difficult, if we adopt that approach of welcoming it when people say things to us that are maybe corrective, then that creates a setting where people can freely give feedback. And that moves us into the fourth and final one of our previous grids. So let's get that grid off the screen and get the other one back up. What did you come up with from Proverbs about helpful ways to receive rebuke and correction? What were the words that stood out to you from the book of Proverbs about helpful ways in which to receive rebuke or correction that may be brought to you? What words came up?
Heed.
To heed. That's an interesting word, isn't it? To heed. It's not a word we use often. That was the one that stood out for me. So we will come back to that one. But any other words that stood out about helpful ways to receive rebuke and correction? Was there anything else that stood out? Yeah, Mark, what did you come up with?
So loving discipline.
Loving discipline. So we receive in a context of loving discipline. Anything else that came out?
This command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, this correction and instruction are the way to life. The idea, the picture of this lights the path so you can move, you can actually do something, you can move forward to progress.
Yeah, it's helpful, thank you. Let's just pick up on that word heed that James mentioned a moment ago, because that was the one that stood out for me, where it's actually a word that is used more than once. It's in Proverbs 15:31, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home amongst the wise, but it's in chapter 10, 17, 13, 1, 13, 18, 15, 5, and 15, 32. So it's six times in this list is this word heed. So it's a clear winner when it comes to this question of the most helpful way to receive rebuke and correction. To heed, not a word we use very often. What does it mean? So I looked it up. What does it mean? This definition, a little bit small, but you can see it's some of the suggested words and phrases that mean the same. To heed is about paying attention and taking notice of something, taking it to heart, even following it and even obeying it. Something about heeding. If someone brings you a word of rebuke and correction, do you have to accept absolutely everything they say to you as right? Not necessarily. You're allowed to weigh it and receive it and check it out. But there's something about heeding it that says, I'm willing to listen to this. I'm willing to pay attention to it, even if it's uncomfortable, even if I think they're getting it wrong. Even if someone corrects me about something and I think they've completely and utterly misunderstood this situation, and nothing that they're saying to me is actually right, you can still pay attention in the sense of saying, so what was it about the way that I did this or the way that I came across that caused them to think that that's what I was saying or that's what I was doing? So that we're paying attention. If someone takes the trouble to bring us a word of rebuke or a word of correction, then Proverbs talks about heeding it. Don't dismiss it. Pay attention, take notice, take it to heart. If someone that we love and who loves us has taken the time and the effort to do the difficult thing of pointing out to us some area in which we could do better and is offering us some helpful ideas about putting it right, then surely we would want to pay attention to what they have to say, to heed it. So let's wrap it all up. I love buying gifts. My love language is gifts. I love receiving gifts. I love buying gifts for people. And I was looking online the other day about what I could buy my wife as a gift. I saw these. They're Tiffany earrings. Oh, just £1,875. So, Anne, when you listen to this recording, dream on. But if I were to be able to find that £1,875 and buy these as a present for my wife, I'm sure that it would be regarded and received as a wonderful present. And Solomon says this, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. And there's something about when somebody actually loves you enough to bring a word of rebuke, and they're a wise judge, they're someone who gets it right, then that is like receiving the most precious of gifts that someone is giving you. To be able to say, this is a precious gift that someone loves me enough to point out that I'm getting this wrong. But it's only a precious gift if it is to a listening ear, to the ear that is willing to receive it. So how are we doing at giving and receiving rebuke and correction? Are we doing it in the unhelpful ways of threatening, resenting, or in the helpful ways of being open with one another and then heeding what we may say to one another? It's a good subject to look at, isn't it? It's not one we would necessarily have ever chosen to look at, but by looking at it this evening, we're giving the Holy Spirit a chance just to speak to us about this whole area. How open are we to receive loving rebuke and correction from our fellow Christians? So let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us with that question as we draw to a close. Do you want to give us a strum of the chord of G or something equally spiritual? Let me encourage you just to look at the words that we've looked at this evening about heeding, being open. Just allow the Holy Spirit now to speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit never comes to to condemn us. He never comes to make us feel bad about things. But he does come in order that we might be better. And the Holy Spirit is often the one who will be the one who might rebuke. He might point out something that is wrong. But he does that so that he can bring the correction of helping us to put it right. And so the first thing we just want to ask of the Holy Spirit, and I want to invite you to just be asking that question, how good am I at receiving rebuke and correction? Ask the Holy Spirit just to show you whether that's something that you're strong in or something that you're needing to develop in. Maybe it's about giving it that you need to ask the Holy Spirit, how good am I at being able to bring rebuke, bring correction to people?